Costantini is working for parking validation at CNN, so. Hello. Hello there. Hi, how are you? It's 48 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of June of the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the action-packed, fast-paced, thrill-packed, award-winning Rick Emerson radio program. I am he. Thank you. No, really, thank you. No. No, you're too kind. No.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I have no idea. Not at all. I have nothing. It's 503-733-2970. You can tell it's going to be a great show because one of those days where everything is hilarious to me. Even things that are not really demonstrably funny in any way. Doesn't matter. Like Scotty J just came up to the hallway. I have this story about a light bulb. I don't know why. Just the phrase, a story about a light bulb, just made me giggle compulsively. And then I read the rest of the story about the light bulb, by the way. And if you know the story I'm talking about, the giggling was... It was well advised. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Today is a glorious day, friends. It is the best day of your life. You know why? Because today, at long last, after many, many long, excruciating, tedious, hellish, migraine-inducing weeks, today, at long last, your long national nightmare is over. Today, the mystery sound will be revealed. I keep trying to say that like I'm the guy who used to do the old ABC Sunday night movie. Blah, 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 will come to an end. He's sort of like the original In a World guy. I can't really do it. But today we will be revealing the mystery noise. And this, because it happened too late in yesterday's program for us to reveal it. So today, I'm not holding it in my hand. I'm just rustling the paper for pointless effect. The paper has no real significance at this moment. Anyway. It's going to be the best show ever. And that's a bold statement because every single day for the past 3 weeks has been the best show ever. Today we just continue to climb that mountain, to ford every stream as only we can. Today we will be revealing the mystery noise. Because of emails like this one. We've got this. Rick, there is a disadvantage to having such a loyal audience that you can get enough people to span the Hawthorne Bridge. If you do not reveal the mystery sound by the end of this week, we will surround the coin center and take turns kicking you in the scrotum. We will kick you in the scrotum until you cry like Nancy Kerrigan. You have been warned. And it's, you can tell he's serious because his email address has goth in the, there in the summer line. How about this? You effing bastard. Dear Rick, This is a guy who actually walked around his house, hitting, moving, and adjusting various objects in first his kitchen, then his bedroom, then his office, then his bathroom. I don't have time to read this whole email. It's like 8 paragraphs long. He went around the house, turning on every electrical device he had, using every kitchen utensil he could find, opening and closing everything in the bathroom, using every item of toiletry of that nature he could find in his bedroom, desperately trying to replicate the mystery noise. We could do a whole segment on how has the mystery noise affected your life? How have you been impacted by this most glorious of ongoing, seemingly endless radio bits? We will not do that, though. Because Rick Emerson cares. Today, the mystery sound revealed. It's 503-733-2970. What else coming up? We got We have a producer. Brittany watch today. What do we have?
We'll have a Brittany watch.
We haven't gotten to a watch. It's been days.
More about Superman.
All right. And endless Brittany news. The Brittany news of today, this is sort of like the Tom Cruise news that you could not possibly use a couple weeks ago. Every day we meant to get to it and then we didn't. And of course, in the ensuing time period, just like in the time it would take us to tease the upcoming Tom Cruise story, there would be like three more that came out. And so this is like that, except with Britney Spears. And we've got that. We have, let's see. What else? We have more Spot the Fake Metal lyrics we're going to be doing today. And by popular request, we'll play the song about chicks who cut themselves. We'll play that again today because we got to it late in yesterday's program. We have all of that. I have a corpse watch here that we may or may not get to. Jen Ling going to be here later on. Gary Baumgarten. He's not even in New York, though. Isn't he down south somewhere?
He's in Pennsylvania.
What's happening in Pennsylvania?
Big flood. Flooding.
Everything's being destroyed.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. And we'll talk to Jim Roop later on, by the way, who's got some... Jim Roop, who, as a great man once said, has some splaining to do. Do you remember this
Jim
phrase?
Jim Roop is a gossip monger.
He's a bastard. That's what he is. He'll get his. Do you remember yesterday this phrase out of Jim Roop's mouth? Rick, you can tell me what's going on with you and Lisa Goddard. I, Jim Roop, know how to be discreet. I won't tell anybody. I'll speak between... What did he say? It was something along the lines of, I know how to be subtle. I know how to find things out without tipping my hand. What happened when you called Laura Caviezel at CNN? And by the way, I do want to note this, that in all of our many laborious, long, lengthy, also seemingly endless conversations with CNN every morning where we talk to Laura Caviezel as a book the CNN guest, at no point do we relate to Laura Caviezel any of the hideous and horrid things that are said about her by any of her coworkers. You know why? Because it wouldn't be right. Because it's not what men do. We operate in a grown-up and mature fashion.
I know. I don't think she'd be happy to hear how Roop was talking about her yesterday.
I don't even remember what he said about her yesterday. It was something to the effect of, if you're ever able to have a logical conversation with Laura Caviezel, the booking agent at CNN. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Did we repeat that? No. Did we pass it along? No. Are we little gossip mongers? No, we are not. We are upstanding, professional, forthright, mature individuals. Not like Jim Roop, who apparently took on Elisa. And I didn't even say anything about Elisa Goddard. I simply asked about the significance of her mentioning her shoes. And Jim was apparently jumped on AOL Instant Messenger 2 minutes later and was gigglingly sending that information off to Laura Caviezel, who then asked Sarah about it this morning. What did she say to you this morning when you were booking the CNN guests?
Oh, she said, are you sure you don't want to book Lisa Goddard? I hear Rick thinks she has the hots for him.
See, why would she think that? Because I've never said that to her.
And then I asked who said it, and she said, oh, well, I was talking to Jim yesterday.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that, Jim Roop. I should know. You know, it's in Los Angeles. It's in the blood down there. They can't help it. They're gossips.
But that's a good thing, though. I mean, they're talking more about you at CNN than they are at Anderson Cooper. So you're due for a book pretty soon.
It's true. All right. 503-733-2970. By the way, CNN sent me a special press release this morning asking if we would like to be booking NASCAR analysts on this radio program. The answer is no, by the way. We do not. But listen to this. If you didn't even know what these people were doing, if you didn't know what these people from CNN were analyzing, what their area of expertise was, when a guy's name is Wally Dallenbach, there's really no disputing. Benny Parsons, Wally Dallenbach, and Matt Yoakam. We all know what these people, it's something where people sweat and they chew on a lot of straw. You know that's what they're talking about. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who completely forgot that she had to weigh in at this portion of the program until just moments ago. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired.
Are you a little grumpy today?
No.
Tiniest little bit?
No.
Maybe
just
a hair.
I'm tired.
Okay. Why are you tired?
Because I went out last night.
Till what time?
I didn't hear you come in last night.
Gosh, I don't know. Like 2, I think.
Okay. Well, that's okay. When's closing, Terry? It's closing
like
at 2:30. Last call?
Yeah, I went to Sabala's and Jen was DJing, so it was like a little dance party.
That's kind of your second home, isn't it? I'm
going
to do encourage stalking, but if anybody wants to find you, that's pretty much your office.
They should give you one of the better parts.
They really should give you like a blotter there on the desk and a stapler, and that should just be. They should totally. How cool would this be?
Yeah.
They should cordon off a little table or whatever, and it should be Sarah Dillon's like away office or whatever.
Like the days of the Cotton Club.
Exactly. Yeah. You should get a reserved booth there. Seriously, how much business, and I mean this only because you are a
celebrity.
That wasn't what I was going to say. Not that it's not true. I was going to say that it's...
I like the nightlife.
I was going to say that in no way do we receive consideration for any of this. We simply mention this because it is part of your daily life. You are a Sabalas fan. You go there, it is a place you enjoy spending your time. There is no quid pro quo for any mentioning of anything like that on this radio program. All I'm saying is, think about the public profile that these guys have and how much of it they owe to you. They should totally be giving you, like Dan Rather used to have one of those, you know, like at Elaine's or whatever, some booth. You totally ought to have that.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's all I'm saying.
Did your computer just shut off?
My computer just turned itself off.
It's going to be a great show.
Uh-oh.
Best show
now
ever.
We're in for it.
We're going to have lots of sound. It won't play, but it'll be here. You won't be able to, if we won't actually be able to broadcast it. This computer is in use and has been locked. Only Rick Emerson is allowed to use. Okay, but I am Rick Emerson.
Does that just erase all the valuable sound bites that made up most of this program?
Oh, wait. Sources point to, yes. Here's Tim Riley. He's working on the following stories that we may or may not be able to elaborate upon later. Come on.
Well, the Supreme Court slaps the president over Guantanamo Bay. The problem is the president really doesn't know what's going on with the whole situation. A Texas man calls 911 to report he's cut in two by a train.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh!
Yep.
How would you even be able to...
He had a cell phone.
No, that wasn't really... My question was more physiological in nature, but that's okay.
Well, four bars.
No, okay. He was using Verizon.
Yeah.
That's a great... Oh, come on. That's a great next commercial. Okay, attention, Verizon. You can use this right now because it's like that whole...
The man who was cut in half on the train.
I'm saying in the history of that new, like, you know, those new sort of edgy commercials like the... We sentence you to be taken to a prison where you shall be put to death by swinging from the neck until dead. But I did save money on my auto insurance. You know, there's that whole kind of edge where you don't know what it is. You know. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. That'd be the new man hit by train. You know, spine severed, lungs destroyed. How was he able to use the cell phone? He had Verizon.
So who says we have no content here?
Fools. That too. Are we?
Oh, no.
Is that it? Are you done teasing?
No, I got two more.
Best show ever.
Okay. Superman opens disappointingly at the box office.
I called it.
And the claws come out in the Barbara Walters Star Jones catfight.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, tell me, do you have audio, Tim?
Yes, I do.
Oh, really? No, it's here. The audio is still here.
Oh, thank goodness.
All
okay.
Right. I'd like to thank Engineer Will, by the way, for covering my computer with Lisa Goddard wallpaper.
Sure he did.
It wasn't me. I wouldn't even know where to get that. I would. I have the picture. I just, it's not, no, you all sent it to
so
me.
Did you take it out of your personal collection?
Yes.
God,
from
my so
Lisa
wrong.
Goddard archive that I have at home. Seriously, this will be one of those things where, like, I'll die someday and you guys will be cleaning out my belongings and there'll be, like, a secret room with, like, a bolt on the door that no one's allowed to go into. And you go in there, there'll be endless, like, hundreds and hundreds of, like, candid photos of Lisa Goddard, like, at the mall. She didn't know. Just cut out and taped all over the wall. And then, in the middle of the room, like, a table with some dolls having tea for no reason.
And a filing cabinet full of skulls.
And a trash can full of skin. This show is content rich. It really is. Tell me we don't ever get to anything. Sons of bitches. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour.
Is it ever?
And now, from the city desk,
the love of God.
Tim Riley.
From Howard Town to Waterbury Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Apparently, two women pushing strollers fell over an embankment at Malumba Falls this morning and only had minor injuries, some cuts and bruises, so I guess the babies are okay too. But all kinds of things involving water because people just aren't being careful. Now, we have the second drowning at a popular Troutdale swimming hole over the past couple of days. This time a 20-year-old man drowned. This is at Dabney State Park, a popular Troutdale swimming hole.
By the way, it's
hazardous. It has no lifeguards, and several deaths have occurred there in the past few years.
All right. I wasn't really listening just now. I was busy reading. I was scanning through a series of emails.
Well, people are drowning.
Somebody sent me a pithy email comparing the mystery noise to introducing a new color of M&M, and I was chuckling heartily at that. So what happens if people drown?
Yeah, people keep drowning.
Why? From what? Inhaling water. I understand
how... Well, there are no lifeguards. It's hazardous, and it's a dangerous place to swim.
All right, well, don't swim there. Well, this happens every year, right? I'm not trying to diminish the...
Right.
Here's the thing. The world's just waiting to kill you.
You're supposed to stay safely with the air conditioner on, sitting on your couch, and you'll be fine.
This is really what separates us from the savages and the rest of nature, that we have air conditioning, and we can stay indoors. You don't need to get near the big, viscous lake of goo out there that's waiting to suck you under. You know what it is? There's like polar twins here, because during the summer, it really is like a sort of inverse proportion. It's like an inverse ratio. As the heat goes up, the number of people who survive the summer go down because they all get into the lake and then they forget that they're not amphibious and bam, under the water they go. Mm-hmm. This is a corollary to during the fall when they have that whole thing about the logs that roll in and kill everybody. You know, they're out at the coast. Which, like, some guy is standing there by the coast and suddenly a 9,000-pound redwood just rolls in out of the ocean and just flattens him. So you stay away from the water, man. The water is not your friend. The water is your enemy. It's trying to kill you at all times.
And we're going to say stay away from Disney World. We have a 12-year-old boy died after riding the Rock and Roller Coaster. He complained of being ill after the ride and went to an area hospital where he passed away. This is an indoor coaster that was opened to guests in August of 1999. The ride launches you from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.8 seconds, which is similar to the feeling of sitting atop a supersonic F-14 Tomcat like Tom Cruise, according to Disney officials. So,
did you say what he died of?
Probably just riding on the ride, I would imagine.
Probably not.
It is Disney.
Disney's the mark of quality. In America.
If you want to stay safe, just stay on the ground and be hugged by a rodent.
Did you see that it was Goth Day at Disneyland like two or three days ago? Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I just saw there was the best photographs. Because the Goths in their endless, like, let's go shock the squares, obsession. The great and terrible thing about Disneyland is they let anybody in there. You know, there's just no, they don't screen out the fat, the stupid, the ugly, the infirm, the anybody. Anybody can go to Disneyland. And so they, to their credit though, Disneyland doesn't buckle under. They'll allow any group, as long as you are not as long as you're not being a danger to yourself and others, they'll let anybody in there. So there's this scandal once a year where there's like a bunch of gay groups that will go to Disneyland and they all wear pink shirts and whatever. And then all the nitwit conservatives, they get their panties in a twist about it. And they're like, we want you to keep the gay. And Disneyland tells them to pound it, which is fine. And so then, every group does that. So now Thursday, so like on Sunday, I think it was Goth Day. And so a bunch of guys were like, let's go to Disneyland, and we'll terrify the old people. And so these pictures, which are both ludicrous and great, were posted on some website, and it literally is of, like, the happiest place, Main Street, Magic Kingdom. And they're just like, and they're all horrible-looking goths. None of the hot goths that you would imagine, because they don't even come out during the day. It's just a bunch of those women that are just packed in there like an overstuffed sausage casing. You know what I mean? Just massive, fleshy folds of flab just threatening to burst out of those fishnets at any moment. So baking away under a little tiny purple parasol that's three sizes too small. So there's a whole lot of ugliness. You don't want to look at that.
Yeah, speaking of ugliness, and welcome guests, representatives of the Westboro Baptist Church. They're in town today for two veterans' funerals. We know who they are. So.
Oh, is that those idiots?
The Phelps guys, yeah.
Man, do you want to be terrified? You ever want to really, 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 as Dan Aykroyd said in Twilight Zone the movie, do you want to see something really scary? If you really want to be terrified and know exactly who you're dealing with when it comes to the religious right in this country and the religious right fringe, go to, and I understand that Wikipedia is not necessarily like the most unbiased source of information, but there is, it is easy to discern there what is real and what is hogwash, as my father would say, because when you see a lot of sites for things and when people have, they put a lot of footnotes in to clarify where the information come from, it's easy to tell there what is real and what is not. I would encourage you to go read the entry on our friend Fred Phelps, because everybody kind of knows he's crazy, but there really are no words to convey exactly how flat-out, unbelievably, nuttily terrifying that guy is until you read all. Because here's what I didn't know about him, and I know that we're not supposed to mention him and bring publicity to him and blah, 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 and that's what he wants or whatever, but I mean, there's just some things that are so weird they got to be talked about. Did you know that idiot congregation of his, Fred Phelps, because they're from Topeka, and I knew a girl from Topeka once, which sounds like the beginning of a limerick, but it's not. And it was to her undying shame that she was from the same town as that nitwit. And are they in town here?
They are. They're going to be in Clackamas today.
I mean, I wish him a long life and the best of health.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, in my assessment, I mean, God is an angry God sometimes. And sometimes the fist of a righteous deity And that's all I'm saying. Anyway, but I read about this. So he's got a congregation of like 100 people. 94 of them are his relatives. And there's a whole lot of inbreeding going on in that family. At least, I would strongly encourage you to read that. And man, it'll freak your crap out. I mean, he's a completely terrifying guy. He's not just crazy. He's actually frightening. So I would encourage you to read that. Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
Yeah.
Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name, Ma.
Hey, what's that name? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing about this is the president really has no idea what's going on here or what the Supreme Court does.
But he hides it well.
The Supreme Court ruling on detainees at Guantanamo Bay, quote, won't cause killers to be put out on the street, unquote, said the president, which wouldn't be bad because they'd be the streets of Cuba, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's the president's initial reaction to the Supreme Court ruling, dealing the administration a major legal blow in the global war on terror.
Court ruling that literally came out in the midst of my meeting with the prime minister. And so I haven't had a chance to fully review the findings of the Supreme Court. I want to assure you that we take them very seriously.
Yes, I'm sure he's going to be up late tonight reading through the 800-page dossier and checking all correlated footnotes relentlessly.
So the ruling ruled that the Bush administration has overstepped its bounds by setting up military tribunals to try and test suspects held at Guantanamo Bay.
What? So this is our Supreme Court that ruled this?
Yes. The people he put in power.
Okay, I guess
five to three.
I guess I'm just so used to the Supreme Court ignoring all sense and logic and just voting in a completely partisan manner.
Yeah, the High Court's justices decided the procedures to try whether the detainees violated the Geneva Convention. This is the first time we followed this.
That's amazing.
During this administration.
I can't overstep. I mean, I'm the first to admit that I overslept this morning. I didn't read the paper. So I am.
If you were listening to Stephanie Miller, she would on and on about it.
Listen
this.
To that. Way to cross-promote. Look at you. That's what we call recycling right there.
I know who breads my butter. Or puts butter on my bread or...
Zing! Anywho, this is our Supreme Court with Antonin Scalia?
Yep.
All right, okay. Do we have more sound on this?
We do. The president says he understands that some prisoners have been there for a long, long time.
I would like for there to be a way to return people from Guantanamo to their home countries.
Be an airplane.
But some of them, people need to be tried in our courts.
Okay. Well, that's not what's happening.
I don't understand. Yeah, I think he's talking about something else. I think they gave him the wrong page. You know, the best part about this is when you see Bush speak publicly, especially if it's for... there are different kinds of speaking. And fellow debate nerds out there will know what I'm talking about. There is speaking when you are operating off a prepared text or perhaps a teleprompter or something that you have committed to memory in whatever fashion. And then there is improvisation. There is extemporaneous speech when one departs from the prepared text and just begins to speak openly... sort of an ad hoc manner, just saying the thoughts as they come into your head. Now, when George Bush transitions from the first kind, which is just reading the teleprompter, to the sort of just making crap up as he goes along, the best part is not even to watch him, because I've just sort of become numb to the whole him mangling the English language and only having the vaguest sort of rudimentary idea what he's talking about. The best part now is to watch the expressions on the faces of his handlers, because you can see a whole... It's like that... It's like that scene in King Kong, the whole, he's breaking the restraints! You can see, he's reading the teleprompter and his beady, small, little primate-like eyes are going back and forth as he's reading it. And then he'll start to move his head and be like, eah! And he'll look up at the audience and he'll just launch into some crap that's just in his head. And you look over and you can see sheer, unmitigated panic on the part of his, he's off the page! And that's when he just all goes to hell.
But it's like when King Kong gets loose and climbs to the top of the Empire State Building.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. And so you're just watching the look of sheer unfolding terror on the faces of the people that are in charge of keeping him on message. Because you can't... And you know that they wish they could just run out there and just gag him and just stuff him in a bag and drag him back to the office as soon as he does that. But you can't really do that.
The president says he'll continue to protect the American people.
Uh-huh.
I understand we're in a war on terror, that these people were picked up off of a battlefield, and I will protect the people and at the same time conform with the findings of the Supreme Court.
No idea.
Meanwhile, something positive here. The president predicts the Japanese people are going to love the taste of American beef.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night, and you told me you did as well, and you look like you're feeling pretty good.
Oh, we're going to be playing that over and over again. Wait, let's just hear the...
Matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night, and...
Okay. I don't even need to alter it.
Matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night, and you told me you did as well, and you look like you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
This is that a question and answer thing that the Japanese said.
Yeah, right, good.
Bush has no idea what he said. It was just a... The guy could be saying that he's...
Matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night, and you told me you did as well, and you look like you're feeling pretty good.
My pants are filled with woodchucks.
Very good. Yeah, right, good.
Okay.
Now, this was at a time when the president said that he gave the Japanese prime minister a jukebox with Elvis records and asked him, I wish we had the song, but what his favorite Elvis song was, and it was the same kind of comment.
One of these people. Oh, God damn. Hi, Tom. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Tom.
Say, I have a quick guess for the mystery noise.
Too late.
All right, someone did get it, and we're going to reveal it at 2:20 today. At 2:20 today, we'll be revealing the mystery noise. But just to amuse me and everyone, how confident are you in the accuracy of your guess?
I'd say 100%.
Okay. What? Go ahead. What is it?
Okay, it's one of those coral door stoppers, back of a door when you vibrate it, it makes all kinds of goofy noises.
Are you kidding?
Really? Are you suggesting
You're
this
joking.
In an ironic fashion, or are you seriously suggesting this?
No, I'm seriously suggesting it.
Thank you.
See? So who wants to take this one? I'm so tired.
I can't do it.
It's what happens when you leave the show to go listen to Lars for too long.
Sarah,
we devoted an entire segment of the show yesterday.
Scotty, come here, please. Scotty J, can you please now to be entering the studio?
The things that the mystery noise
if
was
you could,
not.
Just, okay, Scotty, I'm too, here.
It was one of a long list of things that
would
we
did get to.
Would
you explain to Tom?
Yeah?
Hey, Tom, are you still there?
Hold on, let me pull over. I'm
please
on
do, Tom.
80
we don't
seconds,
want you
so I'm pulling
an
over.
Or nothing.
I can maybe I can hear you better.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely hear you.
Okay.
Where you are?
Now, what was your guess again?
My guess was the those little metal door stoppers that are in the back of a door, and you can pull them backwards, and they shake and rattle, and they're also pretty good for shooting marbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to tell him? I don't have the strength anymore.
I sit on the telephone on a daily basis. How often are you listening to the program here?
How often am I listening to the program?
Right.
Almost every day. Okay. I didn't listen yesterday.
And you haven't...
That's understandable. Because right. We clarified
you
it yesterday.
You miss a day and
that.
Look what happens.
Okay. Well, no. You're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay.
There you go. Thanks for that. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
We are already so behind. We're breaking.
All right.
Well, all right.
Oh, we've got to end
right.
the bush.
All right.
Well, we're not quite done with it.
Oh, well, let's just go out with it. Well, let's, you know what, stop. Let's tell them, let's just take the Bushwatch clothes into the break.
Okay.
Are we done, Tim?
We got a couple of quick things here. First,
we're already so late.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it's just a content-rich show.
It's because we get to things constantly. Mm-hmm. All we're doing is getting to things day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
Things.
Mm-hmm. Donald Rumsfeld says talk on Capitol Hill about withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq is counterproductive.
It tends not to be helpful. We're a democracy, and people can do what they want and say what they want and offer opinions as they wish, and we survive that, and life goes on.
I think Rumsfeld ought to be the villain in the next Superman film. I'm going to start pushing for that right now.
And last but not least, Jenna Bush is leaving the country. You've been making plans over recent months to leave America for a teaching job in Latin America.
Yeah, she's going to be warmly welcome there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
She won't be able to pretend she's Canadian. Mm-hmm. The other, is this Laura Bush or Jenna Bush?
This is Jenna Bush.
Yeah, the problem is it's going to make it more difficult to draft the Bush twins and send them to Iraq, which is going to be the next thing we're going to push for.
Yeah, but they don't check IDs down there.
That's true. They're godless people. All right, let's end now the Bush watch. We'll be back after this. You stay
He's
there.
The
Thank you. Back. Don't go anywhere.
He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Emerson Show. All right, now, and by the way, it's Thursday. It's 503-733-2970. Has anybody tried to use the bathroom this morning?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not...
It was like the bathroom at Studio 54.
It just... We missed the giant moon. see, that's... Well, that's not really relatable as such, but...
It's more of a visual thing.
It's ridiculous. I've never seen a light flicker that much.
All right, we should, yeah, clarify what we're talking about. When I say, did anybody have trouble using the bathroom this morning, I'm not... We're not speaking in a physiological... Well, who knows? I guess it's more of a Lars' audience kind of a thing, but we're not speaking physiologically. I'm just saying, the bat... Let me just... Before we go to Gary Baumgarten here, who I know...
Well, the worst part is, we're going to have to get permission from New York to get another bulb to replace
I'll have to write out a purchase order. I have to write, like, a requisition request. May I have $1.29?
Since Gary's already there, maybe he could forward it on to BlackRock, and so we'll get our light bulb a lot quicker.
Seriously. I should tell you, there's a couple bathrooms here. There's a bathroom for the people and the rabble way out there in the hall. Like, you've got to literally leave our office, walk down a hall. It's the one that the theater used to use. But it's like the public people are always in there, and there's always grubby-faced children in there doing their business. And there's a code on the door, and it's all icky. And it's not private. Which is not like I'm all anal retentive about that, but it's like, you know, what are you going to do? So, nobody wants it. There's one right here, right outside the studio
the
door.
Artist
one for here. The one for the talent. The talent bathroom is right here, and it's lockable. Except, here's the thing. It's got a fluorescent light, which is now so close to its death that it's effectively a strobe light. I don't know if you've ever tried to...
Maybe we get Scotty J to play some tunes to go with the strobing lights. This is the DJ.
Yeah, seriously, you walk into the bathroom, and it's pitch black except for this strobing light.
And all you can hear is, like, blasting country music, because every radio station has this radio station playing in the bathroom.
And you walk in, to perhaps do it. You know, some sort of to perform a function which is important, and you literally expect to hear like a and have a guy with a Coke spoon in his nose walking by you. Have you ever tried to use the bathroom while a strobe light is going off? It's both impossible and funny and difficult and frustrating. I did not get to use the bathroom in the last break, so if I sound a little anxious at this point, that's why it is.
Maybe Scotty can get you a chamber pot.
We should move on now. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the home of Studio 54, except for today when he's in Pennsylvania, which is the home of something, Barnes, the Amish, the Mayo Clinic, I think. Gary Baumgarten, how are you, sir?
I'm in the summer New York City studio.
Are you in New York?
No, I'm in the summer New York City studio.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
It's like the summer White House, you know?
It's sort of New York East or West.
That's right.
Whatever.
New York West, yeah.
Where is Wilkes Bar?
Wilkes Bar.
I was. I'm now in Bloomsburg, but close enough, one county over.
Isn't Wilkes Bar a disease?
Is there a Wilkes-Barre disease?
No, isn't Wilkes-Barre, is it Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre?
Well, I was always told Wilkes-Barre, but half the people here say Wilkes-Barre, so I don't know. Maybe they're looking for a place for a drink. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
So there's a whole lot of unpleasantness going on right there. Because I have a friend of mine whose family kind of all lives in that area, and there's been, it's a bad scene. It's all of this flooding, and it's just destroyed a whole bunch of property, a whole bunch of houses. Did this kind of come out of nowhere? Did nobody expect this?
Well, they have this thing that they call the 100-year flood. It occurred in 1972 when the remnants of Hurricane Agnes came through. And it wasn't supposed to happen for another 100 years, but they had another major flood since then. And now they have a third one. So I don't know. It just seems to be that the area seems to attract them. But basically what happened is that they had several days of a steady torrential downpour, and the system moved north and east, basically following the path of the Susquehanna River and the Delaware River, and the water had to go someplace, so all the runoff from the mountains and so forth went into the rivers. And what happened in Wilkes-Barre is that they have these levees that are up there to protect the town, and they were concerned that the levees might be breached, so they did an evacuation as a precaution. While the levees held, that was good news for Wilkes-Barre, but down here in Bloomsburg to the south and west, There is no levee system, and all that water has to go someplace, so it's overspilled the banks here.
And this, I mean, this sounds like a really obvious observation, but I mean, it seems to me like the problem with, like, if you have a fire, you can get guys out there to put out the fire. The problem with the flood is, it's like nothing you can do. Like, you can move your stuff and try to get the higher ground, but you're basically there until Mother Nature decides that she wants to move the water back out.
Well, and this is the problem, is the people who do not heed the warnings to evacuate. In some cases, they are mandatory, but nobody was really forcing anybody to leave, or they were voluntary. Right. Some people stay behind, and what happens is, they stay to try to keep the pumps going to protect their property, perfectly understandable. But when the pumps start losing the battle against the encroaching water, then they get stuck, and they end up calling for help, and either the fire department has to come, fire truck, but in a boat,
right.
Or the United States United States Coast Guard has to come all the way from Delaware to pluck them from the roof of the houses. That's what's been happening here.
All right. Well, I guess we will kind of talk to you as this unfolds. So stay safe, and hopefully this will abate soon.
Trying to recede now. It's pretty much, now it's mainly the cleanup that they're dealing with here, which is quite the mess. I've seen houses where the outside walls, two of the walls, have actually caved in from the pressure of the floodwater. So,
yeah.
It's not something to take lightly, floodwaters.
No, maybe this
it can rise very, very quickly.
Maybe this is your chance to rename the flood, though, since it's now like an every 14-year event or something. So this is your chance to exercise a little creativity there.
That's not a bad idea.
There you go. All right, Gary Baumgarten. Stay safe, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
All right, there you go. There's Gary Baumgarten in Pennsylvania, where, by the way, if you say Lancaster, they'll beat you with sticks and rocks. It's Lancaster. It's one of those places where they just make up the pronunciations as they go along. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, I got something. The Department of Veterans Affairs has confirmed they have found that stolen laptop computer containing the personal data of more than 26 million American veterans.
But this is two separate things, right? Because there's the laptop that some guy just take it home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but today I heard that there's like two whole data tapes now that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they found a laptop, but then they just like some other guy just took in his briefcase, just put a bunch of data crap in it, took it home. It's like 9 billion names and all of their medical information and everything. So that's unnerving. All right.
Oh, speaking of Pennsylvania, they eat some gross thing there called Scrapple. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. Hold on. What Scrapple is? Okay, this is a food.
It is a breakfast food.
It's a breakfast food, Scrapple. Mm-hmm. All right, Scrapple. Does it have apple in it?
It does not.
Really?
No.
Is this like grape nuts where it contains neither nuts nor grapes?
No.
But
it contains unwanted parts of a certain animal.
Scrapple.
The scraps, right?
Oh, scraps. Yeah, it was like apple. I wasn't focusing on the scrap part. I was focusing on the apple part. Scrapple. Scrapple sounds like the remnants of something that you would scrape off of something else. That's like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're
basically, that's what this
scraping
is.
Scraping something in the way, and at the end, you got a big pile of Scrapple. Scrapple. All right. Is it from a pig?
It is.
Is it intestine?
No.
Is it the hide of a pig?
It's the other end.
The other end of the hide? That would be bone. Oh, you mean it's the business? It's the caboose?
Partially. That and the snout.
It's snout? And so is it just pig snout that's just cooked up?
In a round patty. And eaten for breakfast.
There you go. All right. The more you know, kids. Scrapple. Why do these things always... When is the last time one of these conversations came up in the 1 o'clock hour? Why is it always... You don't even want to know. You don't know the stories that I choose not to read. Would you like to hear a sample story that I chose not to read in this noon hour?
Oh, sure.
That I will now read in this noon hour. All right, wait, hold on. Where did it go? This was handed to me this morning. Here we go.
Now, this is one of those things you're going to say you're going to do later.
No, I'm reading it right now.
All right.
Do we have a corpse watch? I had pulled this, but now I will do it. Let's make this an ad hoc corpse watch here on the. Thank you.
I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone, yet I'm not, I'm sitting alone.
This is from Vermont. I always thought that in Vermont, I thought they were a progressive people there. Apparently not everybody's gotten the word. A Mooresville teenager who broke into a tomb and used a hacksaw to cut off the head of a corpse. Now it gets better. I mean, I know it's hard to believe that we haven't peaked there. Was sentenced Wednesday to 7 years in prison. Nicholas Buckaloo, 18, which sounds like some sort of an event that they'd have in, like, Ellensburg, pled guilty to a felony charge of intentionally removing or injuring a human body. On April 8th, Buckaloo went to a seven... Doesn't a Buckaloo sound like sort of the backup singers for Toby Keith or somebody? Broke into a cemetery in the Washington Highway into an above-ground tomb. Opened the lid of a casket and... cut off the head of a corpse. He wrapped the head in plastic bags and took it home. He also stole the corpse's bow tie. It's just weird. Buckaloo told witnesses he intended to, quote, leave the severed head out for a bit and then give it a cleaning. He told witnesses he then intended to turn the skull into a bong, which is, they note, a type of pipe used to smoke marijuana or other drugs. Buckaloo was described by witnesses as being, quote, a goth, end quote. When searching his residence, they found a human head, a necktie, a hacksaw, a crowbar, and two small garden trowels. The defendant's mother says that he is, quote, a good boy who seems misunderstood. There's your corpse watch. I opted not to read that, but there we go. Scrapple has really made everything fair game today.
Consuming things that's better left alone.
A bong.
I'm resurrecting memories.
A bow tie.
Make you think of Tucker Carlson.
Digging up the corpse of Orville Redenbacher.
You have to wonder how old that corpse was if they're buried with a bow tie.
Bow tie and eyeglasses. Maybe it was Paul Simon. He's dead, right? Senator Paul Simon, not the singer Paul Simon. Isn't Paul Simon dead?
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. Or am I thinking of Paul Songus?
No, you're thinking of Paul. Well, they're both dead.
Are they both
but
dead?
Paul Songus never wore a bow tie.
You know. No, you're right. You know who we couldn't figure out yesterday? Well, you were talking about Fred Willard yesterday.
There's
and then
just
my...
too much information being...
You know what it is? This program is content rich, is what it is. Because we're getting to things over and over again. Over and over, all we're doing is making things happen. Starting and then completing various tasks and elements on this radio program. We were talking yesterday about Fred Willard, and then that made me wonder about Willard Scott and whether Willard Scott is dead. And then that made me think of Charles Carroll, who is dead and had a mistress for like 30 years.
Yeah, he was always on the road.
But Willard Scott may still be alive. No one really knows. Let's see. Let's take a couple of these there phone calls. Mike, how are you, sir?
So it would be wrong. Okay, let me ask you something. Now,
okay. All right,
let me ask you something. So
yes.
Are these people actually the church people actually in Oregon City now?
Oh, this is the Fred
yeah,
Phelps.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Fred Phelps.
I don't know. Let's go to the news. Tim, is
oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, let's hold. Let's hold on.
Let's
hold our horses.
Now,
hold on. Yes.
We understand that the funeral service was at 11:30.
So it may already be over.
Yeah. Damn it. So it would be wrong to tell people to go use. It would be not right to say paintballing.
No, that would be wrong.
Wrong, right?
Let's walk very carefully through these next three moments.
Oh. If you happen to own some paintballs,
no,
slingshot,
no,
that would be wrong.
It
right?
would be very wrong and a thing that we cannot condone,
promote,
advocate, or endorse.
What if? But people eat Scrapple, don't they? Is that wrong?
That's merely revolting. It would be wrong in any... Here's another thing that would be wrong.
I can't come to my own city, though, and protest. I didn't know that. I'm at work. I'm in Portland. If I'd have known that they were there, I could have maybe, you know...
Well,
hidden in the bushes and said hi with some... water balloon.
That would be wrong. In no way can we advocate that.
No way can we condone that.
What I really would have, I mean, all I'm saying is it would be equally wrong as the Fred Phelps. These are the nitwit anti-gay guys that are always pro.
Yeah.
It would be equally wrong to just get as many, like, big greased up men as you possibly could and just have them go stand right by those folks and just make out. That would also be wrong.
That would be wrong.
Yes, that would, I cannot condone that. In no way would that be right.
And that would, and by the way, your secret sound, I'm glad you're finally coming to an end on that, because I'm pulling my freaking hair out.
That's what I'm saying. You know, people have emailed me to say that it is appearing in their dreams.
It is.
They're trying to have dinner at night, and it's like, I had a guy, this is a completely true story, a guy emailed me. See, Sarah and I were talking about this life. Sarah's like, we have to end it. It has to be over.
Dude, if anybody calls and says it's another life spinner, I'm going to freak. I can't take it anymore. I got to know. Later, buddy.
Oh, thank you. He's weeping. No, because we had a guy, we found out yesterday that someone had guessed it, and I'm like, okay, well, we'll announce it Thursday. By the way, the secret sound will be, the mystery nose will be revealed today at 2:20. We will reveal it at 2:20. And Sarah's like, thank God. The people hate us.
You're so shameless. You would carry this on for years. It just needs to stop. You need to understand your limit, and it has been reached.
Because when I hear because whenever we talked about stopping it, I would hear the voice of Bruce Agler in my head, our former godlike program director, going, no, just do it for 6 months. Just do it forever. Never end it. People are into it. I'll just do it for a year if you want. And you know that's what he's saying right now.
I know. I can hear it in that voice.
But no, this is a true story. I had a guy tell me he was out to dinner with his wife because their daughter had graduated from college. And it's like, it's a special family moment, right? And together, mother, father, daughter, bonding as a family unit, celebrating an important milestone in a young girl's life as she looks down the road and ponders her future, and they thank themselves and whatever deity they pray to, the fact that things worked out well for her and that she seems to be headed for good things in her life. All of this became completely derailed when he became obsessed with the sound that the pepper mill was making on the table, because he was convinced that we were using a pepper mill to grind large corn pepper, and that's what the mystery noise was. It is not that, by the way. Scotty J, I have to tell you, though, Scotty J and I were talking this morning that we're a little sad about it. It is kind of a sad day. The curtain is being brought.
It's bittersweet.
It really is. I know Sarah does not feel that way, but Scotty Jane, I'm gonna miss the mystery noise. I'm admit it. You're gonna feel a little sad when it's over. You're gonna miss it just a little bit.
I really won't.
All right, fine.
I will not miss you saying the mystery noise. I wish that phrase will never come out of your mouth again.
No, because here's the thing:
not even the noise itself. Just hearing you say over and over again the mystery noise.
The person here's the thing though, is that the prize that we have given. The prize that we have given is, first of all, should I even say what it is? Well, we have a big prize later on when it is revealed at 2:20. But also, the person who has discerned the mystery noise, that person will become, you know, like if it's, let's say it's a, you know, it's a woman named Jane, become Mystery Noise Jane. And then that mystery noise, which will be a mystery no longer at that point, will be Jane's introductory sound when she calls in. That's all I'm saying. So there's... You know what I'm going to miss?
There's a lot at stake here.
The mystery noise?
I am going to miss that. I'll miss that. I'll find a reason to use it, though.
Can we please listen to the whole song again sometime soon?
We'll play that today. Let's play that today.
Okay.
And then we'll play... Don't let me forget to play the Borderline Baby song again.
Okay.
Because that was great. Pat.
Hello?
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm from Philadelphia, and I know all about Scrapple.
I'm so sorry.
I moved out of that cesspool in 1990. But Scrapple is, legend has it, that it's all the leftover meat parts, including floor shavings, sawdust, and maybe a little corpse of the person who died, swept up and pressed into a square and fried.
Oh, my God. Why would you ever call up and say that?
It's one of those Pennsylvania urban legends.
Well, I thought, you know, it's your humor. I listen to your show all the time. I love your show.
Thank you. Do we?
I think it's great.
Hey, look how low we've set the bar. Are we so vile that you said to yourself, you know what, there's a thing about floor shavings and...
matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night.
It's just spam.
Every home state, we could probably go through all 50 states, and every home state has their own hideous kind of homegrown food that the other states don't have, that is vile and made of... You know, the inside of, you know, a goat nose or something. There's something that you really shouldn't be eating.
What's so, Portland's?
I don't know. Does Portland?
I haven't found anything bad here yet.
Well, give it time. How long have you been here?
We moved to the coast in 1990, 7 years there, and 2.5 years too long, and moved to Portland in 97.
All right, do we have...
I think the most distasteful thing we have here are the people who ride on TriMet. That's the only thing that comes to mind. I've never seen anything like it anyway. You're just taking your life in your hands, and after dark, you may not make it to your destination alive. You will be ground up into this stuff.
And then swept up and made it to Scrapple.
Okay. I can't really top that. Okay. Thank you.
Is the mystery noise a carjack?
Okay. It all depends on what's done.
It really is.
Thank you,
Pat.
Okay.
Bye.
So
much. Scotty is appalled, by the way. He's typing the screen. No sneaking in guesses. As the screener, Scotty is horrified and angered that she... We had this... Correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty. We had this happening yesterday where people were calling up and they're like, yeah, I'd like to talk about the Supreme Court. Yeah, the Supreme... And then they get on the air and, you know, they get on the air and go, baseball cards and the spokes of a bicycle. No! And then, you know, they'd be gone. Look at all these Scrapple calls.
Look at what we started.
Do we? There's no Portland equivalent to Scrapple. We don't even have the hideous Rocky Mountain oysters. That's more of an Idaho thing. And Montana, they have those in Montana. We know there's nothing like that here. All we have is yeah, that's it. There's nothing. All we have was that Tim Riley burger at Claudius,
which I couldn't eat.
No, man. Can I just? I told you the other day when I would see Stone Creep play.
Stone Creep.
When I went to play Stone. I sound drunk. Are you sure that you didn't like slip me a Mickey or something?
Yes.
Because you were doing some drinking. Are you sure that I wasn't there with you? You didn't get me loaded when I wasn't loaded?
Yeah, you were up really late. It was crazy.
I was up really late. I don't even know what day it is. Is it Thursday?
It's Thursday.
All right.
Are you okay?
I'm really not. I am so exhausted. I'm not trying to complain. I know that everybody has a harder job than we do. I know there's some guy hauling lumber, putting up sheetrock, and that guy's like, you know, telling me to shut my hole. All I'm saying is that I have averaged about 3 hours of sleep every night this week. And so it's next week will be better. It's just adding all the, you know, the Stephanie Miller and the John and Jeff and the Don and Mike and the Mahogan. And so I've just kind of got a little bit of a loopiness going on. And I guess we got tomorrow to do too. That'll be fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got more calls about Scrapple. Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. We will take them because we have no shame. And because we are what rich on this program, Tim?
Content rich.
We are content rich.
Was there a memo I didn't get?
Didn't you get that memo? We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
That's 503-733-2970.
Probably from somebody in Salem. Where all problems come from.
Some guy in a trailer with a bunch of friends who call him Führer. It's 503-733-2970. Do we have more news here?
Oh, we got plenty of it, yes.
I feel we should be news heavy as well today because we've gotten to so little news. I think that's only the second watch we've gotten to this week.
Sure. That's the first one, I think.
Really?
We got plenty more content ahead.
We're up to our eyeballs in content and floor sweepings. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a rail yard worker who lost his legs when a train ran him over used his cell phone to report he was trapped and had been, quote, cut in two, unquote. Truman Duncan remains in critical condition at a Fort Worth, Texas hospital after the incident. In the tape of the 911 call, which I wish I had, but I looked for it, I couldn't find, Duncan tells the operator he was run over by a train. I need 911. Life flight. I think I'm cut in two. Someone run you over? The operator asks. Yes, it was me.
Is it really? I like how the operator's all concerned about how it may have happened.
Yes, it was me, he responded. I guess I'm going into shock. Hurry up, ma'am, because I'm about to pass out.
That guy's way calmer than I would be. We don't have the audio, but I...
It's going to turn up somewhere, so somebody will find it. It took rescue workers about an hour to find Duncan. An hour? I mean, he's cut in half, and he's bleeding for an hour. And to extricate him from the tracks, one leg was caught up against a steel wheel and another leg was caught in some wheel and axle parts.
Okay, now, let's think about this now, because I know everybody is anyway, and we've already talked about floor scrapings and making a bong out of some guy's head. Let me just say to everybody who works at CBS Radio, I'm so sorry. Right now, there's some AE. There's a salesperson out there right now sitting in a car with a prospective client going, and this is our midday news program where they tackle some of the...
Please sign this contract for an annual. I'm afraid I can't get this pen to work. How about two tickets to the Blazers? Box seats.
I'm sorry. Anyway, back to the guy. So he was run over by a train?
Yes.
How did that happen? Do they say?
It doesn't say.
All right, but he was a rail yard worker.
Not necessarily.
Oh, he was just some guy hanging out there?
He was just some guy.
Was he trying to jump on a tram? Well, he doesn't seem like he'd have a cell phone if he was some guy.
I bet he was on the phone.
All right.
How these things happen.
You never hear those guys turn up in the cell phone commercials. Those guys are never the endorsers.
Four bars? Now it's eight.
Oh, that's wrong.
It probably is. I shouldn't have said that.
No, that's funny.
How about that? What kind of mystery noise? Oh, should we ask for a mystery? No,
Let's not.
Okay.
Trains scare me, though. They really do.
They scare everyone. They should.
A, because they'll kill you, and B, because, and I've told this story before, that I had a long conversation with my father-in-law, who was a paraplegic, and because he had polio when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long story. Polio and blah, 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 blah. So he's a paraplegic. But when he was a kid, and he grew up in the polio epidemic, and so he was, you know, there was a hospital for kids who had lost use of their limbs. And so he was in a hospital, but he said the hospital was like 50-50. Like half the kids there had gotten polio very, you know, tragically, and just, you know, the muscle function, you know, you lose that. But half the kids had lost their legs to trains. And he said it was the same thing. It was a bunch of idiot kids who were like, I'm going to hop on a tramp steamer like Tom and Huck or, you know, whatever. And the thing is, like, you don't really think about it, but the next time you're there watching a train go by, just imagine yourself taking a long leap forward, and you try to jump in there, and it's like, that's a thing you got to get right. Because if you miss, right underneath there, and it's like, that train weighs 100 tons. I mean, there's not going to be any, it seems to be stuck. That's not like catching your pant leg in a bike chain. So trains, man, ever since then, I mean, I was already kind of freaked out, but ever since I talked to him about being in the legless kid ward, I stay the hell away from those things. And I take them very seriously. So, damn.
Oh, wait a minute. I do have more information about him. The 39-year-old man and a co-worker were attempting to connect rail cars.
Well, here's the thing about that.
You should be pushing them by hand.
Here's the thing. Is that it seems to me, though, probably the only because it took him an hour to find them, him. The only reason he survived, though, is probably because the train was still on top of him and it was keeping the pressure there. Because otherwise, you'd just bleed to death.
So was the second fellow behind it pushing it forward when it ran over the...
I really don't know. I don't know. You know, that's one of those things that'll turn up in an ER episode, though. Because, you know, the guys who do Chicago Hope and Law and Order, mm-hmm. all those guys do is sit on Google News all day and just wait for these stories. And then they have Stephen Botchko just writing some hack dialogue around it. And then, you know, there you go. And then it's an Emmy Award winner. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty J has typed in the phrase, Bush Meat Audio, all Scrapple calls. Some sort of Scotty J refrigerator.
Oh, he's clearing the Scrapple calls.
No, he wants us to take nothing but... Hello, Sean.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. How are you today?
Awesome. I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I got to put this Scrapple business to a rest. Okay. Scrapple is good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, you take your pork and so forth, and you cook it down, and you bind it with cornmeal, man. What can be better than cornbread with pork in it?
Okay.
Every culture has their equivalent. You know, Schipino is Italian scrap stew. Bouillabaisse is French scrap stew. It's good stuff.
This is the best show that Tim Riley has ever been a part of.
Now you can't knock these good Southern soul foods, man. That's
okay, let me just... Okay, first of all, A, Pennsylvania is not Southern soul food. B...
Oh, but Scrapple comes from everywhere. Where do you think the cornmeal comes from?
Scrapple does come from everywhere. Scrapple does seem to come from everywhere, including the floor and bits of the guy's hand who made it, which is why we're maybe a little off. But all I'm saying is, I find the word, in relation to food I'm going to be eating, I find the word bind to be unpleasant.
Oh.
Nothing good ever comes out of binding.
Oh, but it's good. Now, see, actually, up in Pennsylvania, it's a little more common to find a dish called Gouda, which is the same thing, just bound with oats.
Matter of fact, I had a good slice of beef last night.
I can't knock it just because it sounds funny.
Okay. I have to go do something else.
Right on, man. Thanks a lot, dude.
All right, thank you. Please to note how Sean did not try to sneak in a mystery noise guess right there, because he's a good person. I would like for everybody to note that.
I know that your greatest fear is that somebody is going to sneak in the correct answer.
If somebody gets in the correct answer now, I'm just going to bleep it, and you'll never hear it. It'll never hit the air, because we found out yesterday, right at the close of the show, that someone has gotten it. Here's the thing, and if you're like this, no one, I mean, had gotten it for the longest time. And so if by sheer coincidence a second person got it now, A, you'd win nothing except our, you know, I guess our grudging respect. There'd be no point. So, whatever. Scotty, by the way, has made a winning sound effect for when the mystery noise is revealed, which is at 2:20 today. 2:20 today, the mystery noise revealed. And then stuff.
Let's break.
Are we going to break?
Yes.
We're going to break. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break, and then we have things coming up. We're going to get more from the City Desk to make up for the past, like, I don't know, 3 weeks. We're going to play that Borderline Baby song again. We have the Connie Chung song. We'll play that in its entirety due to popular request by Sarah. What else? We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up, who apparently blabbed his big, fat Californian mouth to someone who we'll call Lisa Goddard. That's all coming up. Mystery noise revealed at 2:20 today. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.